From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Lately, the news has been pretty dark.
Yep. The federal government is dysfunctional, the Earth's climate is rapidly warming, and there are aliens invading our planet.
What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror, and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames.
If you fell for that last one, Orson Welles is laughing in his grave.
But seriously, we thought it might be a good idea to start out 2019 with some positive stories.
And if you look for those stories, they're out there. People doing things small and large to improve their communities. Mensches, as my people would say.
So to start off the new year, we're bringing you our Mensches of 2019.
Nice job.
This feel-good story was too good to ignore. A barber giving free haircuts to homeless people throughout the Philadelphia region? What? Bijuan Jones started his good deed in 2017. His story went viral, he was featured on national television, and eventually he was gifted with the use of a barbershop by a fellow barber. But in 2018, a mix-up in communication and subsequent fallout with his benefactor caused Jones to give up his space. Now he's cutting hair at Classics Hub, a barbershop in South Philly, but his mission to serve the homeless continues.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days. You good? Yeah, I forgot the words after that. Bijuan Jones, haircuts for homeless. Yeah, I've been a barber for 10 years. I started in Chester, PA, my hometown. I was 18, 19 when I started barbering. Yeah, something like that, about 18. It's always good to have a trade under your belt. I didn't know I would fall in love with the craft. Haircuts for homeless kind of just birthed out of wanting to do something different for a population that really doesn't get enough shine. So I just decided one day to go out and provide free haircuts for the homeless on a random day. It kind of took off, generating over 2.4 million views in 16 hours. And after that, I just kept going with it, and you know, I quit my job to become a full-time free barber for the homeless. I was wanting to judge a book by its cover. So I guess when I got more into this initiative, it showed me that everybody that, you know, that is homeless is not homeless for the reasons that we as people looking from the outside in. And then just knowing that I played a part in helping them get on their feet, you know, with my craft, that's kind of what I fell in love with. The most important thing when it comes to giving back is doing it for no recognition. If you're going to do it because that's what's on your heart. And don't look for nothing in return. I mean, some people chase the popularity. Some people chase the TV appearances and, you know, wanting to be seen. And those people don't really, you know, they're not in it for the right reason. So it won't really grow or go anywhere. But if your heart is in it, you know what I mean, then all of that other stuff will come along. My 5-year plan is to open up a homeless shelter in the Philadelphia or surrounding areas. So that's what I'm working on now. But I mean, who knows, man? I'm gonna keep going, and wherever God leads me, that's what we gonna do. You know what I mean? We wear many hats. You know what I mean, as barbers, we're therapists, we're marriage counselors, we're everything. You know what I mean? A lot of guys that come here to vent. We are like superheroes, but we take the capes off ourselves and put them on others. Shout out to Pete Michael. I don't know where I may end up, you know what I mean? As long as I'm able to help people and still do what I love, which is barbering, at the same time, you know, who knows what may happen.
In our next story, one couple turns personal tragedy into action. Chris and Susan Demko of Lancaster County co-founded Pennsylvania Parents Against Impaired Driving to enact legislative change after their daughter Meredith was killed by a drunk driver in 2014. The group spearheaded a bill to create more consequences for drivers who continue to get behind the wheel while under the influence, even after their licenses are suspended. That bill was signed into law last month.
It was July of 2014. Our youngest daughter, Meredith, had just graduated from high school. She was getting ready to go to college. She was going to Your Sinus down by Philly. And she was at the Y, I think it was a Tuesday afternoon, around 1 to 2, and she was driving back home, leaving the Y, probably about a mile from her house here, when she was hit by an individual who was a repeat DUI, driving on a suspended license due to a DUI, three times the legal limit, and he was also high on heroin. Because of the way he was driving, they charged him with third-degree murder. And so, given the totality of the situation, he ended up pleading guilty, and he got a 20-year minimum, 20 to 50. We realized that we just couldn't sit there and do nothing. We decided that we had to do something. If you look at the high-risk offenders, there's individuals at a high BAC, which is two times the limit at 0.16. It's repeat offenders. It's offenders who drive on a suspended license. And then the fourth group was controlled substances, or individuals on drugs. You can steal a pen three times at Walmart, and that's a felony. But you can have 15 DUIs, and it's never a felony. What's wrong with this? We weren't experts on DUI, but we turned to, I'll say, the professionals of DUI. And we said, well, what can be done? What else should be done? In 2017, there was a new senator named Scott Martin, who's our senator. Scott Martin almost immediately turned around and introduced a bill. And then additionally, Senator John Rafferty, who was chairman of Transportation Committee in the Senate, he had introduced his own bill as well that had other components. And so what happened was they ended up merging their bill. That is the bill that ultimately became Act 153. So what this does, it truly says there's greater penalties. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, we are effectively going to have to take you out of society. There was, I think, somewhat of a sense of small accomplishment. We owed it to our daughter and all the other children that are killed by DUI offenders across the state.
Misha Horsey's life has been shaped by basketball, and in particular, the Cheltenham High School girls basketball program. But some others who've shared that experience have been dealing with something much more serious, cancer. This coming weekend, Cheltenham High School will hold its sixth annual girls basketball alumni game. Misha started the game to bring together current and former players and to raise money for the American Cancer Society.
My name is Misha Horsey. I am a phys ed and health and wellness teacher at Germantown Academy, and I founded the Cheltenham Lady Panther Alumni Game. I was super proud to be a part of the team. I learned so much through the game of basketball, and I was just kind of like sitting in my house in Cheltenham, and I was thinking, like, how do we not have an alumni game? There's something we need to do about this. The vision was to bridge the gap between the current Lady Panthers and alumni. You know, just develop that bond and that sisterhood that was so powerful that I remember. So how can we get us together? How can we support them? And how can they, how can we get them to remember the legacy and the history of the program? Every year we honor a cancer survivor. It's the Courage Award, and it goes out to someone who has, you know, given back to the community in regards to the cancer disease, or, you know, has just survived, you know, the disease. So really the idea is to bring the community together to raise awareness for both cancer and the Lady Panther history. We've had our former coach who experienced, you know, some difficulties with the cancer disease, and one of the alumni, the players, was also the first honoree for the first year. This year we're honoring two people. One is a woman who I coached her daughter in a travel program, you know, that I'm currently involved in. So it becomes really special when you are connected with those, you know, people who are honoring. The first 4 years, me and the committee have put out our own money to run the event. And then the last year, the school district has helped to support and fund the event. I see new faces every year, so the word is definitely getting out there, and, you know, people are definitely supporting every year, so it's awesome.
That's it for the show. The Y is produced by Shai Benyako
and Annette John Hall,
along with Alex Stern and Kelsey Hansen.
Special thanks to reporters Taylor Allen, Sarah Hoover, and Robbie Broad for doing the interviews for today's show.
Subscribe to the podcast and don't forget to leave a review.
And if you'd like to bring any mentions to our attention, contact us on Twitter. I'm at Shai Benyakov.
And at AnnetteJH.
Happy New Year.
We'll be back tomorrow.